Welcome to Road to the Draft. Casey Phillips here with senior writer and editor Scott Smith. And like we do every offseason for several weeks before the draft, we give you some ideas of what the Bucks may or may not do. Because let's be honest, we all love the draft season. We love breaking down every possibility of what might happen. And with that in mind, we've done a lot of the what we think is most likely to happen.
Sure.
That's always fun. You're trying to predict it. So then later you can be like, see, I knew what they were going to do. Today is the... We don't think this is what they're going to do, but you never know.
It's the zag episode.
It's the zag. We've been zigging, now we're zagging. So if all of a sudden Jason Light just decides to throw a curveball, what are some of the curveball options that could happen?
I think you have to consider this because, yeah, there's definitely years where everybody thinks they know what the team's going to do and then they do. Like 2020, Tristan Wirfs, everybody and their grandma, my grandma for sure, thought the Bucks were going to jump in on one of those top four offensive tackles, and it was so important that he actually traded up to get Tristan when the other three had gone. We got the best one, as it turned out.
Obviously. Not biased, but still.
But there are other years, like, I don't think people saw Kalijah Kancey coming last year. I mean, we'd already drafted Logan Hall the year before, and they're, you know, they're both interior defensive linemen, not really the same type, but I don't think anybody saw that one coming. So, could this be a year? Everybody, if you read the mock drafts, everybody thinks we're going to take either edge, cornerback, wide receiver, or interior offensive line. And I think that's probably true. And we'll get back to talking about that in the next couple weeks. But what if we have no idea and they're going to make a pick that we never saw coming? So the first one I want to talk about is a safety from Minnesota that's worked for us before, Tyler Newbin. He's a guy, now you would say, why would the Bucks take a safety when they re-sign Jordan Whitehead? Well, I think they like to have depth at that position, like to have at least three guys that can play, like when they had those two plus Mike Edwards. This is a guy, obviously from Minnesota. He's got real good ball skills. He's got good instincts. He's 6'1", 199 pounds. Obviously was very productive. He's rangy. He'd be good and when you're going with two safety looks. And it's just a position I think the Bucks could look to the future in. And they like to have a lot of versatile guys. So even if you have Antoine Winfield and Jordan Whitehead, you can do a lot with Antoine Winfield, and you can find ways to get a third safety on the field if he's your, like, fifth best defensive back.
I like that. And, you know, one of the other positions that I feel like a lot of people have predicted to the Bucks is offensive lineman, but typically it's been a little bit more of the interior spots. But in general, what do you see? Is there a sort of zag option when it comes to the offensive
line? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it makes sense because we do not have the two guys that started at left guard anymore. So we have an open spot on the interior line, and we have some versatility where we could draft either a guard or a center. Why would you draft a tackle when you have Tristan Wirfs, who's probably about to get a huge new contract, and Luke Getteke was one of the best, most pleasant surprises of last season, moving back to his college position of right tackle? Yes, I agree with that in theory, but Jason Light did say in a recent interview that it isn't out of the question that at some point that Getteke could move back to a guard spot, that they don't think that the struggles in his rookie season mean that that's he can't handle it. They think it's possible he could be a very good guard. So you could take a Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. It's a loaded tackle class. So there could be six or seven already off the board, and you still can get Tyler Guyton, who is, you know, he's a little bit raw. He needs some development time, but he's got a lot of nice tools. He's 6'8 and 322 pounds. He's got a good wingspan. He's got big hands. He's got good length. He really could probably be a really good road grader as a run blocker. And since you do have two starting tackles, you don't have to press him into service right away. If he needs a little development time, you got time to do that. And so I don't think it's out of the question that the Buccaneers would take a tackle. Again, we're zagging here, and this is not what we think is most likely, but surprise us.
Now, the last one is the most zaggiest of all the zags, to the point where you felt like you needed to give a disclaimer before you're tarred and feathered and drugged through the streets by Bucs fans.
I don't want anybody to clip this out and say, Scott Smith thinks the Bucks are going to take a quarterback. He doesn't like Baker Mayfield. I love Baker Mayfield. I'm so happy we signed him to a three-year deal. But teams sometimes take quarterbacks, even if they haven't established one, like the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Jordan Love didn't start till his fourth season, but they were happy they had him when they got to that point, right? So, Bo Nix of Oregon. I think that the top four quarterbacks generally thought to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy are going to go really high, maybe even the first four picks.
Yeah.
And I feel like somebody's going to take a chance on Washington's Michael Penix, maybe in the middle of the draft somewhere. So the next guy on the board is probably Bo Nix. Would the Buccaneers think about doing that at 26 if Bo Nix was available? Again, this is not what we think is likely to happen, but you never know. And now this is a guy, the thing about him is he started more games at the college level than anybody ever. He had 61 starts between Auburn and Oregon. He really came on last year, just a huge season. I guess he actually started 5 years. He set an NFL single season record for completion percentage. He led all FBS schools with 45 passing touchdowns against 3 interceptions. It's a
That's
pretty good ratio.
A ridiculous
15
ratio.
15-1 is an unheard of ratio. He throws the ball well over the middle of the field. He's got some mobility there. He has a good arm. He's not huge, but 6'2", 214, so he should be able to see over the line. Obviously, his numbers from last year are great. Some people, when they're scouting a quarterback who played for that long and really didn't hit his peak until the end, are a little bit leery. Like, why did it take so long for this to come out? But he's clearly got talent. He's probably a day two guy, and I would be excited if my team got him in day two, but you just never know. Quarterbacks rise, and maybe the Bucks do something nobody expects and get a long-term replacement for Baker Mayfield, who, again, we love.
He's the starter.
He's
the starter. I feel like he's asterisk of like all the things of disclaimers, like footnotes, all the things.
Yeah. Just I want to put it on record, because if the Bucks did do that, then we will clip it and send it out.
And be like, look at what
look
we
at
do.
Look at what Scott said.
All right, that's going to do it for us on this edition of Road to the Draft. We'll see you next time.